let's remember where we were up.
Gemara.
So yesterday we discussed the classic Akira and Lumdos about Moses Godudu, and we began to try to understand the beginning of the sugya. Let's go on a little further in the sugya. There's a lot of details, so we won't be able to really be ma'ayin out of sof in all of them, but we'll mention them. So let's remember where we were. Let's even, start from the beginning. I'll read really quickly. Amr late, we have to answer back. Ad can loshanisa makim shenogu lasas melacha where yitzchak by chazal olsin makim shenogu shalolos was ain no sin. Amr late, amina lachana yisur. Amr of shan bar ad. Amr of yochel the kaimis meyapur meilu was banei and zbanu maharvi tiklum chacham. V'yad amr slim in haga. Right, that's where Rav Shlok used to defend himself. Ham tog ben yisur and don't give him in hagim. V'hasam lav yisur. Everything more asked. V'hatnan be shamay osur halayla be shamay osur u be selamatirin. So by Malach and Erev Pesach, it's also a matter of Isser. Use the Lashon of Isser and Heter, and yet we see that there's different Mahagim. So doesn't that prove that Losis Godu is okay in cases like this? Agav, the Magen Avraham, if you notice that long Magen Avraham makes a diuk from here to justify the, his first way to justify the Ramah, right? The Ramah said, there's also Skodim Maimon Hagim. That's what we spent a lot of time last year analyzing. So, isn't that against the previous line in our Gemara? So in the end he says, this whole line is only leaving the half minhag. But first he says, no. We see from here that a minhag that's an Isser is different from a regular minhag in those Skodim Shayach. That's what he meant. You thought that Malach and Erev Pesach was a regular minhag? No. Malach and Erev Pesach is an Isser minhag. That's the Magen Avraham's chiluk. That what the Gemara Shaim Mechadish here is that a minhag sheyesh bo Isser, has Moses go to do. Most later are going to point out that they're not sure what the Magen Avraham meant. What's the difference between a Stam minhag and a minhag that, what's the difference between a Stam minhag and a minhag that that has an Isser? And that's the later Achronim point out, and that's how most of the Rishonim understand him, Sachim, that, no, they didn't mean to say there's two kinds of Minhagim here. They meant to say that, according to Beishamai, it's a real Isser Vadavar. Until now, we only brought the Makam Shenagu, place that held was a Minhag. Now, we're not saying the Minhag's making an Isser. We're saying it's an Isser Mamish. It's an Isser Mamish. And most Achronim don't agree to the Magen Avraham's distinction. They don't know exactly how to draw the line between a minhag of Isser and a minhag stam. The Magen Avraham means that there's some minhagim that, like, it's nice to do something, but you would do the other way. There are some minhagim that you really take seriously and you would absolutely not do the other way. It's a little tricky, because in most minhagim you're not supposed to do the other way. So that's, the Magen Avraham is tricky. Minhag of Isser, minhag with Isser, minhag without Isser. What's a minhag without Isser? Shouldn't you always keep your minhagim? Unless a minhag without Isser just means like a very newfangled minhag that hasn't become established yet. So a little unclear. But just to summarize, the Magen Avraham reads this line as saying that 90% of minhagim are minhagim with Isserim. And the proof is the Mishnah used the Lashon Isser in response to a minhag. Therefore, what the Magen Avraham does is take most minhagim that people really feel it would be usher to stray from, like most of our minhagim, right? If you ask the rabbi, can I violate my minhag? They'd say, no, it's usher. So he says, most minhagim are really isurim. And we're not exactly sure what kind of minhagim are left that aren't isurim. But I guess there's some minhagim where you say, the people in my town, this is the way they do things. The rabbi would say, yeah, that's the way they do things, but that's not really an isur. So what the Magen Avraham is saying is that serious minhagim are isurim. And harai, the Mishnah mixes a lashon of isur into a minhag. However, that's not the way most of the Farshim understand. Most of the Farshim understand, no, minhagim are minhagim, minhagim are minhagim, and what they're saying here is that according to the Shita Beis Shammai, Erev Pesach has nothing to do with minhag. Erev Pesach is a regular Isser Drabanan. According to the Hill, it's not a regular Isser Drabanan, and therefore there'd be losses go to do.
Is it really clear what criteria
do we have to say that something that people do is elevated to a status of a minhag? And the minhag is not just, you know, a bunch of people do things. It's not, that's not a minhag, right? In other words, people, the Simana Milsa, we eat there. Is that a minhag that we're talking about, or we're talking about something more mechayev? I don't know.
Right. That's a very good question. And, you know, how do you draw the line in terms of minhagim? And for most of us, we have to draw the line one place, between real minhagim and not real minhagim. For the Magen Avraham, you have to draw two lines, between minhagim that are isser, minhagim that aren't isser, and non-minhagim. All right, the Magen Avraham is very, very difficult. And, most of the Echronim can't figure out exactly what he's talking about. And I saw some of them, I'm done, but I can't figure out what they're talking about. So let's just stick to the non-Magen Avraham shot in our Gemara. What's the Magen Avraham? You thought in some towns the minhagim of Pesach. But in Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel towns, the dinner of Pesach, and therefore, you know, don't we see that you're allowed to have different piskei halacha? And the answer is Hasamara Omer Blachu Delesle. No, there's no problem. Losses go do there, because losses go do is if it's nicker that there's a difference. Over here, if someone doesn't work, it just looks like they're on vacation, right? Because remember, it just means the sun kind of not working, and therefore there's no problem of losses go do. The Ha Beis Shammai Tiran Tos La'achem Beis Hillel Olshim. They say in the end. What about Beis Shammai Matir and Sars La'achim and Beis Hillel Osrim? They're clearly, Beis Shammai allows a God to be Miyavim Sars Erva, which is an Isser Kares, according to Beis Hillel. That's clear Losses go. It's very noticeable that Beis Shammai is acting different than Beis Hillel. They say, Mi Savras, also Beis Shammai Devrayim, Lo also Beis Shammai Devrayim. We're going to go more into the law, the nature of the Achloksin, also and Lo also in the next year. For now, let's just read on the simple level. Right, so now they want to have a theory here that Beis Shammai held their shita but didn't follow it. That would obviously solve the losko do problem. Rabbi Yochanan, who asked from Beis Shammai, thinks that asu va'asu. Many of you showed him say, what's the lashon of asu va'asu? It sounds, to me, it just sounds like a lashon of, you know, of saying something without hesitation. But the Rashi and other Rishonim say it means also, they did it, and they told other people to do it. They took it very shita very seriously. We plug to Rav Shmuel. Now we go into Machlokas whether Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were asu or not. To Rav Amar lo asu, Beis Shammai divrei Shmuel Amar asu veasu. So it's the same as the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right? Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yochanan asu veasu, and Reish Lakish holds like Rav that lo asu. Amos, Ile Mekodim Basko, my time in Luasu. Yelacher Basko, my time in Luasu. So what's the problem? If it's before the Basko, then what's the Havmina not to do it? Why not? There, Talmud Yichama. And if it's after the Basko, what's the Havmina to do it? Ibai Seim Mekodim Basko, Ibai Seim Elacher Basko, Ibai Seim Mekodim Basko, Mekodim Basko, Mekodim Basko, Ruba. Right? So maybe it's before the Basko, Mekodim was the Ruba. Lamandam or Luasu, Dabi Sela Ruba. Lamandam or also, Kiyaz Lina Basa Ruba, Hechadichia Dodin, and Huach Beishamai Mechad de Tve. So one sheet is it was before the Basko. Mandomer lo asu says you can't violate the rov. Mandomer asu says that even though Beis Hillel were numerically more, Beis Shammai had more brain power, and therefore, you know, Beis Shammai thought that Beis Hillel didn't count as the rov. V'bais ema, so it's a machlokas in how to apply the rule of rov. Do you go by people or by brain power? V'bais ema. Ibaisim lacher baskol, mandam lo also don after baskol, mandam also reshu hidam resh kichem be baskol. Okay, so maybe it's after the baskol and the machlokas is whether we listen to a baskol or not. This is a very, very crucial tosi of Rabbi Yeshua that I had to point out. Of course, he dealt with that on the Wednesday morning shiur, so we're not going to go into the baskol issues now. Now, getting back to our main topic, mandam also karina and kan losis go to do. So again, Reish Lakish defended himself by loas. But what about mandam asu? Don't we hold for losses go to do? Right? Again, according to most, most Rishonim, even Rabbi Yochanan holds a losses go to do. But certainly Shmuel would hold a losses go to do. So, here we have the famous Achlokas Abayin Rabba. Amar Baiki, Amrin losses go to do. Going to Shteba Tadin Abir Achas, a little more into the Rishamai, 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 right? No, losses go to do is only in one city. There are two Beis Medrashes in one city, that's losses go to. In two different cities, is no problem. Right? In two different cities, it is no problem. Okay. One side problem that Tosos brings up here is, look at Tosos, Ki Amrin losses go to, and Shtei Batidinim be Ir Achas, says Tosos, Vim Tomer, Matiris Mimigillah. Right? How does this help Megillah? Right? This is a famous kasha of Tosos, famous sheet of Tosos. Right? How does it help Megillah to say that it's mutter in two different cities? That helps Yodalad and Tesvav. But the Yom HaKnisa, what's Yom HaKnisa? The villagers, what does Yom HaKnisa mean? Knisa means going in. Where did they go in? They went into the city. So the villagers went into the Yodalad place, to the ear. And what was the chak?
Well, they went to the Tetzvav place.
I could have, but they were all the same, correct? The villagers went to, well, let's, you know, for the sake of simplicity, the villagers went into the air, and what's the point? Since they were all gathered in the air, then they can lay Megillah then, and that was the kula the Chachamim gave them. So, that means even in the same city, the villagers would lay in the same city on Yod Aleph Beis Yud Gimel, and the city dwellers, the residents, would lay in Yod Aleph. So isn't that two bati dinim in the same city? I understand, it's like two bati din. Well, how is it like two bati din? L'chora, because let's say, maybe they each have their own valid psak machi knesset agedola. But it's still in one city. So that's Tosa's famous question, that aren't they still doing different things in the same city? Omer Rabbi Chaim, and Rabbi Chaim here has a famous answer, which is picked up by many Rishonim. There are two Rishonim who had this famous Shita. There's Rabbi Chai and the Baal Tosos, and the Ramban and the Rashbah quote from the Ravid, quoting the Rav Moshe Bar of Yosef. That was one of the early problems of Rishonim. Rav Moshe Bar of Yosef and Rav Chaim both had the same idea. What was his answer? Right? What's the question? The question is, what about, how does Abaye explain Yom HaKnisa? Isn't that Be'er Achas, because they're meeting in the city? So what does Tosas' radical Chiddush?
Stay in your own city.
Exactly. Tosas Chiddush is, or Rabbi Chaim, the Nek Farmai Korn Be'iram, meaning Be'kfar Shalahem. I know the Lashon could be a little confusing. They would read in their own villages, K'demuchach B'Yushalmi. Really, so the first famous answer, and this is Rabbeinu Chaim, not the Soloveitchik, but Baba Tosos, and also Rav Moshe, or Rav Yosef, no one agreed with them. Not too many people like the Shita, but he says that they would read in their kfar. Okay, what's the only problem? We call it Yom HaKnisa. So he says, Yom HaKnisa, it means they would gather in their kfar to shul. It doesn't really, Knisa is more like, asifa or something. Usually Knisa means you go from one place into another place. Guess here it means they go into shul. Yom HaKnisa, they go to the Beis HaKnesses, after all. On the Beis HaKnesses, you're Knisa.
Isn't he what he's saying, that they, in the kfar people, these were farmers, they didn't live in the kfar, they were spread all around. So there was a Beit Knesset in the kfar, the local kfar, and they would come into the kfar from the kfar.
Right. So I guess the truth is that makes it a little more palatable, right? In their villages, what does it mean in their villages? Lahore, the villages were spread out, unlike cities. In cities, everyone lives together. In villages, I guess, I don't know, how did it work in the old days in America? Everyone lived in their farm, and there was one church in the middle, and they all trekked, for an hour in the morning on Sundays to go to church. So our ancestors were three times as good at that. They all trekked even on Monday and Thursday to the shul, they didn't live next to the shul. Okay, so it really is a kinesa. So says Tosos, Yom HaKnisa doesn't mean going to the cities. Yom HaKnisa means going to the center of their village, which might have been 3 kilometers from their house, or 10 kilometers from their house, for all we know. And they would do that on Mondays and Thursdays for laning. They do that on Mondays and Thursdays for laning, and that's all it means. And that is obviously no lotus go to do, because they're in a different city. In the village, they lane on Yod Aleph Beis Yud Gimel. In the city, they lane on Yod Aleph Chein Nira. Okay, then he wants to bring a proof. To Amr B'Yushalmi, the Ben Irin Motzi Ben Krach, the Kolshei M'choy B'darim Motzi Echim D'Chavasa, the Chaim Shnei Kfar Ma'i B'Kiyam Likros Vada Yekorin B'Irin. And he has a proof. What's his proof? His proof is, Yushalmi says that a Ben Irin and a Ben Krach can't be Motzi each other. This is Maisim. This is Maisim B'chol Yom, nowadays in Israel. Right, I live in Alon Shvat, the question is, can I come in and lane for someone in Yerushalayim? So the answer is no, because I'm not Mechoy B'davar, I can't be Moshe Echim B'dei Chavasam. So Tosa says, the proof is that The proof is that and therefore, obviously Ben Ir can't read for the Ben Kfar. Obviously Ben Kfar has to read for the Ben Kfar. And if Ben Kfar is reading for the Ben Kfar anyway, then they might as well do it in their own towns. Yeah. So that's what's his proof. His proof is a two-step proof. A, right? A Ben Ir can't be motzi a Ben Kfar. And B, if a Ben Kfar read for them, why bother to schlep into the ear? That's also two proofs, this tremendous kiddush, that they wouldn't go to the ear. Now, is this proof valid? I mean, l'chor not. Most, pretty much, all Rishonim hold, they would read in the ear, not in the kfar. Why isn't Tosis proof valid? And as a matter, why isn't Tosis proof valid?
Not every kfar would have somebody who could read. Maybe every 10 kfars had one person who could read, so they get together in the ear.
So I'm already saying that Enechami needed a ben kfar for them. But who says even every kfar had a minion? And Shalom Bismanu, you need a minion, right? Or a person who had a read. Maybe between all the kfarim. So this is what we have, for example, in many Rishonim. For example, the Rush here. The Rush assumes, without getting into how we answer Tosa's question. What did they do? Right? Tosa says, a ben kfar read for them in their kfar. The Rush assumes, as like a Dover Pasha, without getting into it too much, and so do a number of other Rishonim. He says here, I'll just read you this line. Shebnei krachim lo yekorin lebnei kfarim, el lebnei kfarim korin laatzman bikrachim. Right? The bnei kfarim would read for themselves, but in the city. Right? So you could say, and the Rush and the Ramban and the Rashba also mention this, like Rush and others, that ben kfar kore lahem be'ir. So why do they bother to go into the ear? Maybe they bothered to go into the ear because not every village had a bal kore. Or someone want to give me another shot as to what Yom HaKnisa might be and why they would go into the ear? According to Tosa, what does Yom HaKnisa mean? Why would they do Knisa on Monday and Thursday? What was special on Monday and Thursday? No, what did Tosa just say? We just read Tosa. What did Tosa just say? What did Tosa just say? What would they do specially when they got together on Monday and Thursday?
The Korban Torah.
It doesn't say the Korban Torah? The Korban Torah. Why is it a special day? Because the Korban Torah. But who remembers what Rashi said in the beginning of the Megillah? Yoni? Why was it Yom HaKnisa?
Market days?
It was, or, didn't you say something else just then?
Yeah.
Bezdin. Bezdin, market days, same thing. So you could say, right, either, because not every kfar had a bal kore, that you definitely could say, or, I think easier, the Knisa was for Beis Din and for the shuk, right? The Knisa might have been for Beis Din, for our case, meaning the Knisa was not necessarily a laning-oriented idea. The Knisa was, of course, they went to the cities. They went into the cities because economically it was necessary to go into the cities on that day. Maybe they went to the Beis Din and had all their disputes worked out, or maybe that was a special day when they made a shuk. Now again, it could very well be they only did these things because of the laning. But, so you can easily say, like the Rush and many Mishonim, and like Morty and Yomi are suggesting, that Enachnami ben Kfar is to be multi ben Kfar, but they went to the city anyway. Either they went to the city for business reasons, or just more convenient for all the Kfarim to get together in the city and find a Balkori. I don't know, maybe each Kfar didn't have a Balkori, they might as well go to the city where all the Kfarim would get together. So I think that means Tosa's not necessarily proven. But how about the first part of Tosfos? Isn't Mochrach that a Ben Kfar has to read for them? What does Rashi say? If I can find the Rashi in the beginning of the Megillah, everyone listening? V'akfarim einem b'kiyam likros. Utzrichen sheyekra enelahem echa mi bnei ha'ir. says Rashi, beginning of Megillah, first line in Megillah. So maybe could say Sarich Sheyikraena Lahem Echad Mibnei Ha'ir. What about the Yerushalmi? What about the Yerushalmi? Doesn't the Yerushalmi say otherwise? Remember, Tosfos quoted the Yerushalmi, right? Shan, Per Beis Halach Gimel. You can look it up yourself. It's really there. It's a real Yerushalmi. I looked it up myself. Tosfos isn't lying to us. So what's Pshat in the in Tosfos? What about this Yerushalmi? Tosfos is actually being very honest here. The Bach fixes up Tosfos to be a little less honest. But what does the Yerushalmi say, according to Tosfos? What does the Yerushalmi say, according to Tosfos? Read me the Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi. Someone? Read me Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi, Mo Raps. Read me Tosfos quoting the Yerushalmi. All right, what we just read. Five lines from the end. What is Yerushalmi talking about? What is Yerushalmi talking about?
Ben Ir and Ben Krach.
What does Tosfos apply it to? Ben Ir and Ben Kfar. Right, now if you look at that Gosa Bach here, the Gosa Bach says, right, it's a Dalit, the Ben Ir and Emotzi Ben Kfar. Right, he improves Tosfos. But he's not really improving Tosfos. Tosfos being accurate. Tosfos obviously thought that it's all the same. The Rishami says Ben Ir and Ben Krach. If you look at the Rishami, that's what it says. I don't think he had a different gears than the Rishami. Tosfos says, look, it's all the same principle, right? So this is Ben Ir, Ben Krach, Ben Ir, Ben Far, it's all the same. But Tosfos quoting the Rishami accurately. The Bach, you know, okay, maybe the Bach thought Tosfos had a different gears than the Rishami. But Pashto says that no, Tosfos didn't have a gears than the Rishami. Tosfos said the Rishami says Ben Ir can't be Motzi Ben Krach. So likewise, Ben Ir can't be Motzi Ben Far. Okay, what would Rashi and Megillah say back to Tosfos? How would you answer Tosfos? You're reading this Tosfos, right? Let's say you're reading the Tosfos. You say, the Yerushalmi says, Ben Ir ain't no motzi ben krach, so therefore Ben Ir can't be motzi ben kfar. You're reading Tosfos carefully, right? You're a real Talmud Chacham, you say to yourself, hold on a second, Tosfos is putting Yerushalmi, that's not talking about the exact thing he's talking about. You notice, and even if you don't notice it, because we're only human, you look at the Bach, you say, ah, according to the Bach's gear, so the Yerushalmi says exactly what we want it to say. According to the printed gear, so the Yerushalmi doesn't say exactly, so I have to look up the Yerushalmi. You'll see the Yerushalmi says like Tosfos, right? All the Rishonim quote Yerushalmi is like Tosfos. So Tosfos is obviously making a sushtel, or an extrapolation, right? That the Yerushalmi says Ben Ir can't be Motzi Ben Krach. Likewise, Ben Ir can't be Motzi Ben Kfar. Is that necessarily a valid extrapolation?
No.
Why not?
Say
it's Dafka. Why?
Well, Rashi.
But what's the difference? What's the logical difference?
The whole Indian of an ear is that they're meant to be Motzi the Bnei Kfar. I mean, the Bnei Kfar can't do it on their own.
Ah, okay. So Yomi's saying, you're right. You know, that's not as lundish as what I was looking for. Say, no, the whole takana of the Bnei Kfar is because they don't know how to lane, so I should miss a good old remake of him, right? That's a good point. So, could say, and it's different from the Yerushalmi, because you could say that's true, it's a special kula here. Meaning, Ben Ir and Ben Krach both know how to lane, so they were talking, they're independent, independent human. Ben Kfar, they don't know how to lane, then they Kfar, they were talking this kula. Or how could you say it maybe without contradicting what Yoni said, but a little sharper, a little more lundish? What's the difference between the Ben Ir versus Ben Krach and Ben Ir versus Ben Kfar?
There's three different places here. There's an ear and a Krach and a Kfar. The question is, what's a Krach? Is a Krach like an ear or a Krach like a Kfar? That the person in the middle there maybe could go either way. So since he could go either way, he could be, I would say, this, the people here, even though most people would go that way.
Let me ask you a simpler question. If Ben Ir decides to go to a Krach instead, or Ben Krach decides, if Yudal decides to go to Tesvav, or Tesvav decides to go to Yudal, is that okay? Like, to just hear it on the wrong day, is that okay? No, if he, I shouldn't say go there. If a Ben Ir decides, if a Tel Aviv decides to drive in Shoshana in the morning to test Vav and hear Megillah, is he Yosei?
No.
If a Yerushalmi drives in Tel Aviv in the morning to test Vav and hear Megillah, he's not Yosei. What if a Ben Kfar decides it's more convenient for him to go to Yudalim and hear it in the air? Is he Yosei?
Yeah.
Yes, why? Because Ben Krach and Ben Ir are two different mitzvahs that Mordechai and Esther were attacking, right? Two different days of Purim. Ben Kfar doesn't have a different day of Purim. Right? Ben Kfar doesn't have a different day of Purim. He still has the Suda on Yudalit. Right? He still sends Shalach Manas on Yudalit. Ben Kfar is not, it's not that there are three Purims or five Purims. There are two Purims. What we call Purim and Shushan Purim. Purim de Prazin and Purim de Mukfin. What's the idea of a Ben Kfar? Ben Kfar doesn't have a different view of Purim. A Ben Kfar is really a Ben Ir. Just, it's hard for him to make it in because of his village lifestyle. So they gave him a kula to make it more convenient. Right? But a Ben Kfar is not a different chiyuv than the Ben Ir. He's the same chiyuv. They just gave him a kula in terms of how he performs it. I think that's the way the Achronim, I saw in the Kodesh Chanukah, and Chanukah Megillah, and the other Achronim say, you could say, or you could say very simply, Yud Dalet and Tes Vav are separate chiyuvim. That's called Eino Mechoyiv Adavar. If I'm a Yud Daletik, I'm not Mechoyiv in Tes Vav. If you're a Tes Vavnik, you're not Mechoyiv in Yud Dalet. But Ben Kfar, Ben Ir, they're all in the same chiyuv. They're all chayiv in Yud Dalet, just as a kula when it's very, very difficult and a big tircha. They both have the same chiyuv. There's no separate holiday and separate chiyuv. There's the same chiyuv, just there's flexibility and there's a kula. What do you mean I'm not Mechoyiv Adavar? We're exactly the same Mechoyiv Adavar. Just Chacham gave you a kula and they didn't give me a kula. Why? Because for you it's hard to make it into the city, or yeah, against us, it's hard to make it into the city. And for me, I already live in the city. But I think that that's the simplest way of saying, but Ben Kfar has the same chiyuv as a Ben Ir. Just, he has a kula. V'haraya, he doesn't have to take advantage of the kula if he doesn't want to, right? He's always allowed to go in on Yudalit. It's not like it's a totally different day for him. As a matter of fact, the Gemara even says in Gilead Test, if he happens to go, you know, sleep in the city on Yudalit, he has to read it again anyway. Because that's his real chiyuv. His real chiyuv is Yudalit. They're both really chayiv in Yudalit. They're just a kula. So you could say very easily to defend Rashi and Megillah that Yudalit and Tesvav, those are two different parts. Look in the Megillah. They're two different chiyuvim. And two different chiyuvim, so whoever's no chiyuv in Yudalit is not no chiyuv in Tesvav. Whoever's no chiyuv in Tesvav is not no chiyuv in Yudalit. But Yom HaKnis and Yudalit are the same chiyuv. They're just two different ways of fulfilling that chiyuv, the Mekel way and the Machmer way of fulfilling the chiyuv. And therefore, since it's the same chiyuv, a Ben Ir is Mechoyiv B'davar for Yom HaKnisah. Why? Because we both have the same chiyuv. Just, you have a kula and I don't have a kula. And since we both have the same chiyuv, therefore, since we both have the same chiyuv, therefore I should be able to lean to be motzi you. That's how Rav Turchinian explains in the Kudrus Chanukah of Megillus and Beis, and all the modern day, a lot of modern day Achronim explain. Okay, so Tosnas Agav, we're not learning Megillah now, but then you'd want to go back and say, so hold on, if Rashi and Megillah is very logical, Yudal and Yom HaKnisah are the same chiyuv, come on. Well, of course they can be Mohu, that Ben Ir can be Motzi Ben Kfar. That's not a different chiyuv. That's the same Mechoyiv Adavar, just flexibility in how you implement it. And what does Tosfos think? So that's a whole chakir. Maybe Tosfos thinks that. No, a Ben Kfar is a totally different Purim and a totally different chiyuv from a Ben Ir. Or maybe Tosfos thinks it's not enough to have the same chiyuv. You need to be able to have the chiyuv in order to be multi other people. And that is a very fascinating question. Is it enough to be a chiyuv to be multi other people? Or do you need to actually have a chiyuv on mitzvah to be multi other people? The nafkamina of that is whether someone who understands Hebrew can read Megillah in English to someone who doesn't understand Hebrew. They have the same chiyuv, but if I understand Hebrew, according to most Rishonim, I'm not Yotzi in English. He is Yotzi in English. But that we're not going to get into. We'll save that for when we learn the second paragraph of Megillah. Okay, back to our Tosfos. So Tosfos said they would read in their kfar, and it's no problem for Abaye at all. They read in their kfar, no problem for Abaye. He tries to prove they read in their kfar, but his proof is very weak. Because first proof is that a Ben Ir can't be motzi them. which is Rashi's against, and a lot of Rishonim are against, not so Pashut. Maybe Ben Ur can be owed to them because of special Kula, or maybe just because Alpi Lumbus. He's Mechuyev the same as them. His second proof is that if they read for themselves, why bother to go into the city? That's also not a very good proof. That's why most Rishonim don't agree with Reina Chaim and Rav Moshe, Rav Yosef. So how would
it's
we...
It's not a proof, but it doesn't negate
them. It doesn't negate them. It just takes away their proof. It still could be. I can't disprove them. Correct. I can't disprove them. Okay. What would be another way of answering their question? So another way of answering their question could be that a relatively simple way. Well, another way of answering their question, which is not really an answer, is with the Ramban, and who did I quote here? The Rashba say in one answer, you could say, all the Rishonim give multiple answers here. So that's why, you know, they don't have to keep, someone can say more than one answer. The Ramban and the Rashba say that it's actually not meant to answer Megillah it's really meant to justify Tzoras Erevah. At this point the Gemara is not trying to or more broadly Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? Just Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. At this point the Gemara is not trying to answer Megillah. Taka, we don't have an answer for Megillah. Taka Abaye doesn't have an answer for Megillah. But right now, we're not dealing with how the sugya started with Megillah. We're just answering the question, Beis Shammai Matir Natsaros, Beis Hillel Osrim. But Taka, he doesn't have an answer for Megillah. Abaye doesn't have an answer for Megillah. Because it's a really good question. Abaye really doesn't have an answer for Megillah. Isn't it terrible that Abaye doesn't have an answer for Megillah? No, because we don't pass like Abaye anyway, so it's fine. Another possible answer they suggest, and this comes in many, many, many flavors among the Rishonim, but the Rabban and Rashba say next, a very logical answer. They say, is this so pashut that this is against Abaye because they're doing it in the same city? After all, we're doing it in the same city, but what?
Could be under the auspices of one Bezdin.
So that's even more of a problem. It's under the auspices of one Bezdin, for sure Losos Godu, right? The Kasha, Abaye says whenever you're in the same city, that's Losos Godu. Here the Kfarim read it on Yud Beis in the same city where the Bnei Yaros read it on Yud Dalet. Isn't that a problem of Losos Godu in the same city? So Losos Kasha was, it was a problem of Losos Godu in the same city. And he gave the answer, they actually read in the Kfar. But rather Rashi first, say, Tak, it's a problem of Losos Godu, it's a Kasha and Abaye. We're just not dealing with that Kasha right now. They say in their second answer, and this is what in the Tos Yeshanim, he gives a few different formulations of this, and in the Rush he has a similar idea also in his second answer. they answer that it's considered Shtei Ayaros because each group kept to themselves. Meaning, you're right, they're doing it in the same city. That's not Losos Godu. Losos Godu means that the city splits in half. Over here, they're doing it in the same city, but the Bnei Kfarim had a leaning for Bnei Kfarim in the city, in the same city. Bnei Ayaros had a leaning for Bnei Ayaros in the city. Since they're two distinct groups and they do things differently, especially if you assume that Ben Kfar had to lean for the Bnei Kfarim, then that's considered like two cities because they come from two cities and they don't mingle with each other. And I don't know, there's two men hugging, one man in Minsk and one man in Pinsk. And the people from Minsk all of a sudden have a big tiyul, and they go to Pinsk and they borrow their shul for a second and have their own minion with their own chazan and they do their own thing. That's still considered like two cities. It's just two cities, and one of them happened to visit, one of them happened to visit the other one for a day. That's still considered two ayaros, because each group is keeping to themselves and came from their own place and is going back to their own place, and they're such obviously distinct groups, that's still called two ayaros. And therefore, that's why Abaye has no problem with Megillah.
That's what we have today, no? In other words, we have kilot that are so completely different from one another.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go that far, because nowadays, that's talking about a case where people mamish lived in one city, they went to the other city for Yom HaKnisa once, had their own minyan with their own cousin, and then went home.
But it's not
over
very
here,
far. It's not very far. I mean, you have to go, but not that far.
Okay, you know, let's come back to that in a moment.
I mean, it seems exactly similar to that, the Yom Tov Sheni minyan that happened all over Israel.
That would be similar to Yom Tov Sheni Minyanim. I guess that's what they say. They would say, correct. They would say Yom Tov Sheni Minyan is not Moses go to do. Why? Because it's people from another place who come and make their own minyan in their own location with their own chazen, and clearly has to do with the place they live in. Right? It's clear that has to do with the place they live in. Therefore, there's no problem Moses go to do. I think you're correct. They would say there's no Moses go to do.
They have to do it with Sina, though.
So even if there's no Moses go to do, you might say, Rashi points out, besides Losis Godu, the Mishnah Makom Shenagu says, Al Yishana Adu B'nei Machlokes, that even when there's no Losis Godu, you have to still...
He discouraged that. He didn't want that.
No, he didn't want to publicly...
He didn't want it.
No, it sounded like he didn't mind it, Bitsina. Shlomo Zalman, it's tricky. Or Shlomo Zalman was Zocha to a similar status as Rav Soloveitchik in America. Meaning he was so big that obviously everyone says he agrees with them, and therefore no one actually knows what he holds because everyone claims he held like that. You know, if you're like a middling Talmud Chacham, and a decently qualified posik, then you have a sheet that I quote you because you agree with me, and the other guy quotes that you disagreed with him, no. But if you're big enough, then no one's going to admit you disagreed with them, and therefore the problem is, anything you didn't write explicitly, Rachel B'chaktana, everyone gives their own report. And this is one of these, it's a problem you have all the different Shlomo books nowadays. I don't mean Mincha Shlomo. That was written by him. That's a small book relative to Kultur Kula. That's the problem here. So you should know that maybe it's a little ironic, but if you actually have no idea what someone held because everyone said they held like them, that shows that they were really the Gadol Hador. Okay. I don't even say you have it also, like with Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol Hador in America, and he wrote a lot of tshuvas. So you have less of this, but still on brain death, right? But Moshe agrees with everyone. There's no one who disagrees with Moshe on brain death. Because that's, when you're big enough, then you have to agree with everyone. All right, one of those ironic things about Jewish history. Weiter. So Ramban and Rashba say there's no losses go to because they're like Shtei Ayaros, because they're a clearly distinct group. The Ritva quotes, I know I'm going a little out of order, but the Ritva gives in his second shot here, the pshat he himself takes. The Ritva says, though, the Ritva says, what's Tosas Kasha here? Tosas Kasha here is you've answered your Dalet Tesvav, but you haven't answered Yom HaKnisa, right? Your Dalet Tesvav are two different Ayaros, but you haven't answered Yom HaKnisa. So isn't that a problem? So the Ritva said, no. Reish Lakish's question was never Yom HaKnisa, but only Yodala Tesvav. He said Tosas misunderstood. Tosas thinks the Kasha is from Yom HaKnisa. No, the question was never Yom HaKnisa. The question was only Yodala and Tesvav. That is the it's very clear in the Mukha Yosef here, right? The Mukha Yosef in the beginning of our Sugya just teaches the first line of the Sugya and says, one second. I have to find it in this one. Kari kan lo siskod, dude. The Nirin Kanogin Shtei Torah, short I yours, but you're dialed in the Mukha Choma Betesvav. Then I've seen this fancy one. They have all kinds of stars and footnotes. I'm sure the stars and footnotes point out to all the Achronim, point out that according to Mukha Yosef, he's like the Ritva. The question was never from Yom HaKnisa. The question was from Yodalet and Tesvav. And here we have a very fascinating machlokas. What was Reish Lakish's question?
Tosfos assumes that the question was from Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet Tesla. How can you have any of this divergence? Then he says, well, Abai might have answered Yud Dalet Tesla, but how is he going to answer Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? And then you have to give one of these four answers we have on the board, all of which come in, you know, subtly different flavors as well. Those are the basic answers. The Nimuke Yosef, you're saying, no, the question was only Yud Dalet Tesla. The question was never Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Why not? Why was the question only Yud-Aleph Tesvav and he never had a question from Yom HaKnisa? Meaning, why was Rish Lakish never bothered by Yom HaKnisa?
Because clearly it's a unicall thing. Like, everybody, it's necessary for those people to hear Megillah. It's only
clearly it's just necessary for them to hear Megillah. It's like a kula they have. And especially, since it's just a kula they have, if they want, they could... If the B'nai Kfarim want, they could always go and hear it on Yud Aleph if they want, right? It's not like really a different din for them. It's just another option, B'shas Hachak. That's not Losis Godu. No one ever had a Habamina that if the Bezdin of your city Paskin, that you know what? We should be machmir, but for poor people, we make a l'shas adchak. You know, no one ever thinks that's Losis Godu. It's not Losis Godu for people to have a more makel option, B'shas Hachak. Losis Godu is Yud Dalet and Tesvav. I have my day, you have your day, and we each just have different days. To say that we have flexibility for people in a Shas Hadchak, meaning they could lean on the regular day, but we can give them a kula. That's not Losis Godu. What do you mean to tell you? If someone leaves their house and goes away for Yontif, then they do B'dikas Chametz before Urlar Basar. That Losis Godu do? No, everyone does it at Urlar Basar. But everyone's chayv at Urlar Basar. It's just that if you have circumstances where you're not going to be around, so you do it a little earlier. No one, I don't think anyone would ever say that that's Losis Godu. That's what they say. But Yom HaKnisa, was not an alternate chiyuv. Just an optional kula, and an optional kula, b'shas hachak, that's not, no one ever thought that was Losis Godu. So they say that Yom HaKnisa was never Losis Godu. Everyone knows that there are kulas for people who need the kulas. Losis Godu is only if I absolutely do my way and you absolutely do your way. Not if I'm a miskain and you're not a miskain. Not if it's easy for me and it's hard for you. So of course there's never Losis Godu in Yom HaKnisa. That's the Ritva says in the end, and of course that's how the Mukhi Yosef would explain this also, even though he doesn't comment on this line of the Gemara. Pasha says there's never Losis Godu in Yom HaKnisa. It was only a Dalim Tesvav, and that Abai answered very well. Totally, two totally different cities.
I mean, even more than that, you could say that the Yudal Tetrov was Knesset, Anche Knesset Agdol. All right, you say, I mean, Huggy, this is blatantly done by the Gdolim to do it, so you could say the question is on that. Over here, like you say, it's the practice.
No, the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah says Anche Knesset Agdol, and we're talking this also.
Yeah, but it's.
Okay. Now,
does this mean that in every situation where there's Shas Hachak, we will not be choshish for Shtei Toros at all?
Exactly! That's not Losis Godu. Everyone agrees that we could both do the same thing if we weren't stuck.
Doesn't that open up a big gateway to really not being choshish ever for Losis Godu? I mean, you could say that many, many situations are Shas Hachak where you need a kula here or there.
I mean, but not classic Losis Godu. I mean, the classic Shaila that the Losis can deal with is Nutzch Asa Nutzch Sfart, right? It's not. That's not relevant to this Indian or Tsaros, you know, the Tsaros Arab. I mean, the classic case they discuss are usually not cases of kulas, etc. They're cases where we just have totally different practices. But in a Hanabi, meaning if some people, I don't know what's the case, some people some people wake up late and they don't say Psukki to Zimra in Shul. Some people wake up on time and they say Psukki to Zimra. So that's not Losis Godu. Everyone should say Psukki to Zimra, but some people, you know, can't have the ideal halachic kiyum. That's not Losis Godu, because we're both should do the same thing theoretically. So I think at a time that wouldn't be Losis Godu. Now, this, by the way, is similar to the discussion we had over here. I mean, is Yom HaKnisa really a totally different din? So the answer is Pashtos, no, it's not a totally different din, it's just a kula. And therefore, it's not a different chiyum.
Just a kula. Therefore, there's no havim lo skodim. How does Rashi hold in this? Does Rashi hold like the Numka Yosef or like Tosfos? Look at Rashi Yud Gimel and Beis. Dibur Hamaschil lo sasu gudus agudus. Does he hold like Numka Yosef or like Tosfos? Yud Gimel and Beis. Dibur Hamaschil lo sasu gudus agudus. How does Rashi hold? Rashi, Lo Sasso, Gurus, Agurus.
Two different
places. Nira Kanog and Beis Torus, Shakorin, Farmers of Gilbiyama Knees. So by yours, it goes with Dalton Kum. Rashi sounds like Tosos here, right? He says Yama Knees is also part of the question, right? So Rashi would sound like Tosos here. Okay. Just look at one more Rashi. In the first wide line, Aminalach Anasira, it starts at the end of the skinny lines, Yugilmo and Beis. Aminalach Anasura. What does Rashi say there? Who does he sound like there? He sounds like the Nimuka Yosef in the Ritva. Right? So is this a Stira and Rashi? So all the Akronim point out, then I noticed the Ritva already pointed it out before the Akronim. Then no. Rashi thinks this exact question of what Rish Lakish's Kasha is part of the Shakla Batari of the Gemara. Why? So Rashi says that before the Chiluk between Minag and Din, when they thought that Minhagim and Dinim were both Losas Go to do, then Yom HaKinisa was also. They thought any difference was Losas Go to do, including Yom HaKinisa. So the original question was from Yom HaKinisa and Yudal Antisvav, because they thought any difference was Losas Go to do. But after the Chiluk between Minag and Din, how's Rashi reading the Gemara? The Gemara says, no, Rish Lakish says, I'm only worried about, I only think Losas Go to applies to Din, not Minag. Says, Los Kodim applies to Din, to absolute Chiyuvim, not to Minhagim, things you just do. So Rash says, originally they thought the question was from Yudal Fi Beis Yud Gimel to Yudal Tesvav. Then the word says, no, Rish Lakish says, my question is only from Dinim, not Minhagim, only Yudal and... Now, Yom Kippur is also Din, but what's the principle? My question is only when you absolutely must do different things. That's Los is going to do. Not when you decide to do different. Los Godu is only when there's a chiyuv to do different things. In which case, Rash says, now that Los Godu is only when there's a chiyuv to do different things, that's day Torah, there's a chiyuv to do different things. In Yom HaKnesa, there's no chiyuv to do different things. Everyone can do the same thing unless you want to be Mako. Therefore, Rashi changed his mind and went to started like Tosfos and ended up like Mukhe Yosef. Says originally the question was a general question, then they narrowed it down and said, my question is only when there's a total difference that each person has to do what they do and not the other one. That's what he says. When it's usser, for me it's usser to do like you, and for you it's usser to do like me. That's what Moses is going to do. Since in Yom HaKnisa, it's not usser for the big farim to be more macher themselves if they want. Right? Therefore, that's like minhag, and not like din. I mean, like minhag. It's like minhag in that you don't have to do it. Right? It's like minhag in that you don't have to do it. It's just something you decide to do. And therefore, in the end, the kasha only Yudal and Tesvav, because Yom Knisa is like a minhag, because they could all read on Yudal if they want to. Since they could all read on Yudal, that's just like a minhag. It's not a serious difference. It's a small, nourish type difference. And therefore, there was never a kasha between Dal and Tesvav once we got through that line in the Gemara. And the last answer is what we read last time from the Rush, and many other Rishonim also quote this, right? And it's also the Ritva in the name of Tosos, right? I guess he had the Tosos of Rush. He says that Megillah is not a question in the first place, right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, who remembers why Megillah is not a first question? This line in the Gemara is in Rabbi Yochanan. Who remembers why Megillah is not a question in the first place? According to Rabbi Yochanan, why is Megillah not a question in the first place? From last time?
Makom Gorin.
Exactly, because Hamakom Gorin.
meaning even Yudalim and Tezvav, even though that's not a discussion here. Megillah is not a question at all, because I'm Makom Gorim. What does Makom Gorim mean? There's no machlokas. Everyone admits that it depends who you live. So not only is Yom HaKnisa not a question, even Yudalim Tezvav is not a question. And really, Reish Lakish's question is stupid in the first place, according to the later Amorayim, because Moses Godel only applies when you have a machlokas, not when you both agree that what the other one's doing is right.
Would that be explained as Makom Gorim? That means that if I were in your place, I would do what you do.
Exactly.
But this doesn't make case. The people who are in the ear, they can't say, if I go to your city, I can't do it in your city. I have here.
No, that's not true. The people in the ear admitted that if we were staying in the Kfar this week, we could do like the Kfar. Yeah.
But I don't even think you have to live there, right?
That part has been Yom Nikraparas, even if I just stayed there for Purim. So I think we all admit, if I stayed in your town for Purim, I would do like you. So therefore, it's no problem. Okay. So this is a very, very important discussion we've shown here. It gets to some, so to speak, issues in how they used to lay Megillah, and as well as Losis. Now, let's go on to the Gemara. The Rabbi asked a strange kasha on Abaye. What does Rabbi ask on Abaye? Amalei Rava, v'habe shame v'selok shtei bati dina b'irachas dami. He says, you're saying there's no Losis Godu problem if they live in different cities. But Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel lived in the same city. Ella, Marava, Kiyami Los Godu, Gom Bezin, Be Ir Achas, Plag Morin Kedivri Beis Shammai, U Plag Morin Kedivri Beis Hillel, Aval Shtei, Bate Dina, Be Ir Achas, Leslan Ba. Here, Rava has a tremendous kula. Rava says, even in one city, if there are two different Bate Din, like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are different Bate Din, there's no problem Losis Godu. The only problem Losis Godu is if there's one Beis Din in the same city who's split in half. So, now, before we analyze the Machlokas of Abaye and Rava, just one point that bothered some of the Rishonim and Achronim is, what was Abaye thinking? This question is so obvious. Abaye was coming off the discussion of Asu Lo Asu, right? He was discussing the Shem Beis Hillel. What was Abaye's answer? There's no Lo Skodu in separate cities. Rava said back to him, but Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are in the same city. What was Abaye thinking? Right? Didn't he know that there's no Lo Skodu in separate cities? So before we get to the Ikar Machlokas being Rav and Abaye, right? Before we get to the Ikar Machlokas Rav and Abaye, what's the Ikar Machlokas Rav and Abaye? Right? The Ikar Machlokas Rav and Abaye is, Rava says, Beis Bate Dinim, Bir Achas is Mutter. Abaye says, Beis Bate Dinim, Bir Achas is Aser only. Beis Bate Dirin, Bate Dinim, Beis Igoros is Mutter. Right? That's the Ikar Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rabban Abaye. But, what was Abaye thinking in the first place? Rava says that this explains the heter of Beis Shammai from Adamur Asu, right? Because they're clearly two different Bezdins. What was Abaye thinking? How did he justify the Asu of Beis Shammai? Don't tell me Abaye wasn't thinking about Beis Shammai. He was thinking about something else. Because he's specifically answering the question of Lamanda Amar Asu, Ikri Kandos is Godu. And the answer is, separate cities. But what do you mean they're not separate cities? What was Abaye thinking in the first place? So just push up shop. What was Abaye thinking? And what did Rava say back to him? Anyone? What was Abaye thinking?
The difference between Beis Shammai and the followers of Beis Shammai, you know?
How do you mean?
That Beis Shammai themselves, they didn't go telling anybody else what to do.
Ah, Beis Shammai himself, they did it. But they didn't go telling anybody else what to do.
If they were in a separate city, they would tell.
Exactly. Okay, so this is, where did you get this idea from? From the Ritva. Although it's also found in the Karen Ora, maybe I put both of those. Right, so one shot is the Ritva and the Karen Ora. Abaye thinks that in one city, Beis Shammai were only Osed themselves, and there's no Losis Godudu on the Chacham himself. Lo siskodu is only to try and convince everyone to follow you. But the no siskodu the Chacham himself. So Abai says, so the Rif says, what are Abai saying? Different cities is one thing, but in the same city, in different cities they would practice differently. But whenever they lived in the same city, Beishama would practice themselves, and they wouldn't tell the townspeople to follow them. And there's no lo siskodu on the Chachamim themselves. Then what did Rabba say back to him? Rabba says back to him that no, lo siskodu applies even to the Chacham themselves. That's one way of reading what Rabba says. Abaye is saying, oh, in two cities is okay. And in one city, Beis Shammai kept quiet. And respect him, no, even if Beis Shammai kept quiet in one city, even the Chacham themselves still have an issue with Losses Godin, in which case is a very fundamental machlokes. Side machlokes of Abaye and Rabba. Beside the main machlokes, there's a side machlokes of Abaye and Rabba that Abaye says, the Bar Pluta themselves, they're always allowed to follow their shitas. Lo siskodu is only to tell everyone else. But, you know, if you just do it yourself, that's not lo siskodu. And Rabba says even doing it yourself is lo siskodu. That's a big machlokes. It's only lo siskodu to tell other people even to do it yourself. So, according to this, since we, Lachor, would pass like Rabba, we would say there's even lo siskodu to do it yourself, even if you don't tell everyone else to follow you. Their advice was also bothered by this. Their advisor was also bothered by this, and he gave two answers. The second, which is going to answer Morty's question from 40 minutes ago. Their advisor, in his first answer, says that what did Abaye held? That Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were so big and widespread that they're like Shtei Ayaros. He says, look, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, even in the same city are like different cities. Because they're both worldwide movements. They're both people with adherents all over the Middle East. And therefore, it's not like me and you. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel are always like two cities. Because they're so big, they're each like their own city. I don't mean in this town. In this town, half Beis Shammai, half Beis Hillel. But since the half Beis Hillel also has half of every other city in the world, and the half Beis Shammai is half of every other city in the world, therefore they're so big they're like separate cities. I mean, it's like different communities. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is such a big split, so such big houses, they're like different communities. And then Rabba says back that, nope, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are still considered one city. Right? So that would be like, for example, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, right? Let's say Minaga Ashkenazim and Sephardim. So, according to this first part of the Ravaz, Abaye would say, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, I don't mean in Ashkenaz and Sephardim. Ashkenaz and Sephardim are both gone by now, pretty much. Not too many people left in Ashkenaz, and there's not too many people left in Sephardim, right? But America or Israel. So Rav would say, come on, it's such worldwide movements with so many adherents. Abaye would say, that's like two cities, even in Olenshut. And Rav would say, no, they're still like one city. But it's mutter because they're like two bastions. They both admit it's mutter for Ashkenazim and Sephardim to do differently. But Abaye would say it's like two cities. And Rav would say, give me a break, that's not like two cities. It's mutter for a different reason. Because it's like two bastions. Because even if there's no best, even if you live in a city without a bastion, Ashkenazim are like one bastion because they have all of the Ashkenazim behind them. And Sephardim are like one bastion because they have the bastion of all the Sephardim in the world. The third shot in the Ravaz, second shot in the Ravaz, the third shot overall, is very fascinating. He says that what was Abaye thinking? They actually lived in different cities. He says Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel didn't live in the same city. They actually lived in different cities. Therefore, Abaye made perfect sense. This is the easiest shot in Abaye. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel lived in different cities, and therefore it's more difficult to argue because, you know, in Tu Ayaros there's no losses go to do. If what the Ravaz doesn't answer is, so then what's Rava saying? So what's Rava saying? The Yudaic in Rava's language, like many Rishonim Achronim were, what did Rava say to him? He said, V'habit Shammai Beis Hillel, kish dei batidim mirachas dami. Rava would be in a big chiddush that for Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel, even different cities, counts as one city. Why would that be? Why would Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel adopt even different cities count as one city? So I think this would be the answer to Morty's question. Morty asked before, what if you had two different cities, they were connected in the internet? Because we have a global village nowadays, right? Nowadays we have a global village, right? Anytime anyone doesn't, 10 years ago, right? Anytime anyone didn't like what their local rabbi said, they just called their friend in Israel, had them go to Rabbi Yashiv, and he would say the opposite. And if he didn't say the opposite, they would go to Rav Karla, Rav Kanievsky. Eventually you find someone who said the opposite. It's either enough gedolim here. Odds are they're going to find someone who says the opposite, right? So, what if you have two cities, but it's a global village? So I think the Radvaz would say in his second shot, that's not called Abai and Rava. Abai, because what are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? What makes them unique? What makes them unique is that, even if they live in different cities, everyone's always talking about them and fighting about them. Because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were so famous, that was connected by the internet. It was a global village in terms of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Everyone talked all day about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So I think that's the point. Abaye would say, two cities are two cities. I don't care if they're all talking about each other and concerned with each other and thinking about each other. Two cities are two cities. Rub would say no. Usually two cities are two cities. Minsk is Minsk and Pinsk is Pinsk. And you know what? You really think that if in, if in Vilna, someone passed in one way and in Hamburg someone passed in the other way, that's an issue? Come on. They don't care about each other. And Rav would say, but if they really are arguing with each other all the time, then that's considered like one city. So I think the answer to your question is, according to the second shot of the Radvaz, that's machlokes of Abaye and Rava. And Abaye would say it's like two cities, and Rava would say it's like one city. Okay, so we have three ways of a farshim explaining what Abaye was thinking that he did have a good explanation for Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, and then why Rava claimed he didn't. Either Abaye thought he had a good explanation because in one city they kept to themselves, and Rava's saying even keeping to yourselves as loses go to do in the same city. Or Abaye said he thought that they were always like two cities because they were already different factions and different sects. And Rava says, no, even if you're different sects, it's still considered like one city. Or Abaye says they actually lived in different cities. Rava says, yeah, but if there's such Bali Machlokas, then that's like one city. And then in the end, Rava gave a bigger kula than Abaye. Let's get back to Rava's main kula. Right, Rava says, you know what, even in one city, it's mutter to have divergent practice. Right, as long as you have two bezdins. Right, and that is, of course, what's our minhag nowadays, like Abaye or like Rava? Our minhag nowadays is like Rava, right? According to Abaye, every town has to have one minhag, right? Remember what Rama said that we saw yesterday? There shouldn't be one town where people do different spheres of owners. Right? Every town has to have one minhag. Right? But our minhag is all the Rishonim except for one, possibly like Rava, right? The Rif from possibly Abaye and the Rosh the Rif possibly like Rava, the Rosh possibly like Rava, the Rosh of your culture being a Hananel, Agam Orchu says, well, Abaye is for sure Mufrach. Everyone except for, all Rishonim except for one, possibly like Rava. That's why nowadays, basically, we have two Torahs and Machlokas. Right, you might wonder if there's a whole Losas Godus in the Chakira, whether it's because of state nearer to state Torah, or whether it's because of Machlokas. So how come in modern day Judaism, the Jews always fight with each other, and if you looked at it, it looks like two Torahs? So the answer is, because we paskin like Rava, right? I'm being facetious on purpose. The answer is because we paskin like Rava, that as long as there's two bezdins, it's much to have divergent practices in one city. What does that mean? As long as there's two different, I don't think bezdin has to mean like they sit in judge any mamas. As long as there's two different centers of religious leadership, let's say there's two different shuls, each of which has like their own rabbi, and they don't get along with each other, and they each look to different leadership, then you're allowed to have divergent practice, and that's why nowadays, right, every city has more than one bezdin. Even if the bezdin doesn't sit there, every city has Ashkenazim and Sephardim. So there's a big shaila in the old days when they came to Yerushalayim. Are you allowed to have one city? They had a city. I forget if the shaila is from Yerushalayim or Tzfat, which had four shuls. Three Sephardic, one Ashkenazic. Is that okay? So the answer is yes, because Sephardim have their own Bezdin, the Machaber. Ashkenazim have their own Bezdin, the Ramah. Sephardim have the Bezdin of all the Sephardic rabbis in the world. Ashkenazim have the Bezdin of all the Ashkenazic rabbis in the world. And even if in your town they don't actually sit there,
Clearly, it's like you each have your own religious leadership, and therefore it's okay. The only Yisr Loskodu is very, very restricted, very narrow. The Yisr Loskodu is very narrow. Only if you have one Bezdin in the town, then they're not allowed to split half and half. And that's why nowadays we don't really keep Losis Go to do all that much. We don't necessarily have a problem with people in one town doing things differently. According to Abaye, we're all Varyanim of what's according to most people in Yisrael Daraisa. Because in all our towns there are different methods, unless you want to say...
The second Shabbat of the Rabbaz.
The first Shabbat of the Rabbaz, you mean?
No, the second Shabbat of the Rabbaz.
No, the second Shabbat is that Beisom Lashama lived in different towns.
I know, but he says that, what's the definition of a town? The town is Beitim and Beit Shammai is different everywhere, even though they may be in the same town.
Right, the first Shabbat of the Rabbaz. Yeah, but that's not so pashut nowadays, because that would explain Ashkenazim and Sephardim. But that's not so pashut. A lot of things are not famous things that are different everywhere. A lot of things, and a lot of things in our towns, you can have a town with two shuls, and they're not. There are two young Israels in the town. And one rabbi happens to have learned in one yeshiva and he had one psak, and the other rabbi happens to learn in another yeshiva and the second psak. And it's not like, oh, this is what all the Haredim do, and this is what all the Tzionim do, this is what all the Ashkenazim do, and all the Sephardim do. We also have plenty of towns where, no, there are two shuls of the same stream of Judaism, same stream of Orthodox Judaism, and they do things differently because the rabbis pasken differently, right? So that would be a problem according to Abaye. You're right, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, according to the Rabbaz, Shadi would let you get away with it. And maybe, you know, Haridim and Sionin he would let you get away with, and Hasidim and Snagdim he would let you get away with. But, you know, he wouldn't let you get away with Stam. Yeah, two yeshivish shuls and one Rav learned in Chavetz Chaim, the other Rav learned in Chaim Berlin, and therefore one Rav does things one way, one does things the other way. That's not a worldwide movement. Or they can both have learned in Chaim Berlin and the Rosh Hashiva switched in between. You know, that's not a worldwide movement. Or they could both have learned in YU, and what are the odds that anyone would come out the same?
But even in a shul, you have someone putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin also. Is that a problem? They're in the same shul.
So that's an interesting question, but you might say that has the heter of Minhag, if we accept the heter of Minhag. Or even better than the heter of Minhag. That might be like a Yom HaKnisa kind of thing. Why? You might say there everyone admits you only have to put on Rashi Tefillin. Just some people have a chumrah. It's not like really I think tefillin is Rabbeinu Tam and you think tefillin is Rashi. Really, we both agree that tefillin is Rashi, and some people are more machmir. Yireishamayim yotzi dei shneim. So it could be that just being a little more machmir might not be losis godu, because like you can be machmir or cannot be machmir. We don't really have different ways of practicing. Although, that's not so posh. That would depend on a lot of... You should know that sometimes I like to go this again, like very clear out of every line. You can pass in a lot of halachos. You look in the shuts here about losis godidu, and it gets very subtle because every single case depends on many, many different lines in our sugya. You know, they have one case say, well, that might depend on buying rafa, and it also depends whether losis godidu applies to minhag. And it also depends, can you compare this to Yom HaKnisa or not? So it's not so pashut. Not so pashut.
But Rabbeinu Tam, I don't think the people who put on Rabbeinu Tam, not because they want to be machmir, it's because they belong to a chassidus or whatever, that's what they do. I mean.
Yeah, but you could still say that that's a matter of minhag. No one would say you can make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Right? No one says you can make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. No one would make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. No one put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin for the Shema and Shemona Esrei davening and the Rashi tefillin later. So it could be that in that case, that may just be like some people have minhag, even if it's the minhag of the whole chassidus. You know, that may be just a matter of minhag, and if you hold the Los Skodu by minhagim, that would be okay. Of course, not everyone agrees that Los Skodu by minhagim. And I'm pretty sure that everyone who puts Arabim in Tam tefillin admits you're yotzi with Rashi tefillin. They admit the Ikar dinners like Rashi. But that might depend on what you think about minhagim. If you hold like the Ramah, Los Skodu applies to minhagim, then it may be a problem. So what's the answer going to be? The answer is going to be, since we're Ravaniks, it's Shnei Batidinim already. Mikad Mastana, this Rebbe said, the Grah said not to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, and the Hasidic Rebbe said to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, at least some of them. So that's right, like Shnei Batidinim. What if I have no Bezin in my town? What if everyone in my town can't read the Chumash? Doesn't matter. I have the Bezin of the Litvish people, and you have the Bezin of the Hasidic people. So I think that's probably, because Minhag is controversial. For Amal, it was an Achra Minhag. So, but if you have the Heter of Rava, then you could say it's like Shnei Batidinim, because, you know, I have the Bezin of Hasidim, you have the Bezin of Litvaks.
I think we're kind of common question is tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That comes up a lot.
That is a big, big, big question, tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Is tefillin on Chol HaMoed a problem of Loskodu or not? Because here, it's a more serious problem, because this is not just a matter of minhag. Meaning, the people who don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed hold your chayav misa b'dei shamayim if you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I think. Maybe one person won't. But in general, the people who put on tefillin, it's a mefurish zohar, your chayav misa b'dei shamayim if you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the mefurish zohar, I'm not going into a whole Jewish history lecture here, but most of the people who don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it's because of the zohar. It was a machlokes before the zohar. But what convinced people in the real world, the reason so many people don't put on is because of the Zohar, and the Zohar says, so I'm really, really serious. It's ma'akev to not put on tefillin kol hamoed. And you, old whoever doesn't put on tefillin kol hamoed, is being mevatel mitzvah say the rice, like our hatel no marach tefillin. Right? And is, nido mitzvah rotachas. So, okay, with a little guzma. So that's a really, really, that's a real machlokes in din. That's a real machlokes in din. What do we do, you know, when we have a Zohar versus, versus Rov Rishonim and Shad in the Bavli? That's a real machlokes. So, in that case, that should, according to Abaye, that would really be Los Escodi. If you had two shuls in town, or two minyanim in town, where one with tefillin and one without tefillin, or even if you had one shul in town that was a liberal shul and let half the people wear tefillin and half the people not wear tefillin, that would be a problem of Los Escodi to do. According to Abaye. However, according to Rabbo, we have Shnei Matzdinim. What do you mean? We have the Ramaz Bezdin and the Mechaber and the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov's Bezdin. So the Ramaz Bezdin says put on tefillin. The Mechaber and the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov's Bezdin says not put on tefillin. Therefore, Shnei Matzdinim. So nowadays, no problem. Let's go to the Shnei Matzdinim. Let me point something out that I'm not. Let me point something out here that I'm not dealing with. Because maybe not, we didn't pay enough attention to this Rashi. Rashi says, very important Rashi for Machlokas, the second wide line, Yigimlo Beis, Minhaga, the Huffman Kuli Alashari. Everyone agrees it's Mutter. In Minhagim, everyone knows it's Mutter, right? So there's no problem Losis Godu. Umiyu, he says, even though there's not Losis Godu, there's a separate problem. Even when there's not Losis Godu, there's something else that's Usher. The answer, the Achmal, Yishanas Darkim, they're Machlokas. In place of their Machmir, you can't be making in front of them because of Machlokas. I mean, even though Rashi holds Los Godos based Toros, he admits there's an Isad Rabbanan of Shinoi Mipnea Machlu, Xera Atu Machlokas to go against the local custom. And even though the Rambam holds Los Godos because of Machlokas, but only applies in some cases, he would admit that even when Los Godos doesn't apply, it's also Yishanam Dei Machlokas. So besides the Isser, the Chor Dorais of Los Godu, there's an Isser Drabana to go against the local custom. So let's say Tefillin Kol HaMoed. Los Godu is a question of what can two shuls do in one town, or can one shul have half and half? But if one shul has a minhag, then I can't be Mishana in that shul, then Machlokas on the Drabana level. There's a Xer Drabana, you can never go against local custom. Even when there's no Los Godu, you can't go against local custom because of Machlokas. So that's something you have to have in mind. That regardless of Los Godu, even though nowadays we hold like Rava, we hardly ever apply Los Godu. We've basically written Los Godu off the books for most intents and purposes. But that's the Doraisa of Los Godu. There's still an Isser Drabanan of Al Yishan of Machlokas, which applies if everyone does one thing and you do different. Half and half is no problem. You know, my shul in Alon Shvat, you're the Chaz and the Ladder David, either Nusach Sfar or Nusach Ashkenaz, that's the Minhag. So there's no problem Machlokas. Because the minig is doing it either way. But if you had a shul like in Gross, where it was minig Ashkenaz, and if you did minig Sfard, that wouldn't be Losis Godu. You have a, let's say that wouldn't be Losis Godu necessarily. Not so Pasha, but it would at least be Shina and Dea Machlokas. And therefore, even when there's no Losis Godu, when you're someplace where everyone does things one way, you have to fit in with the way they do things. Mipnei Machlokas Midrabanan. So for example, for example, if I'm a Nusach Ashkenaz fellow, if I daven in a Nusach Sfar Shul, and they say, Yoshan Lugani, etc., in America, or Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't, then I'll say it with them, Mipnei Machlokas, if I'm davening in a Hasidisha place where they don't say Tachlin at Mincha, and I want to say Tachlin at Mincha, then I won't put my hand down like this, because that's a Shinoi Mipnei Mipnei Machlokas. Or if I'm davening on Monday morning, if I was davening this morning in a Nusach Sfar place, then I and everyone
didn't feel Zapayim right away and then said Behu Rachlam, then I would do it with them, because you're not supposed to be Mishana, but Nei Ha. You're not supposed to be Mishana. You know, mipnei ha-machlokas. So I think that there's definitely, you know, yesh v'zamashu, you know. you know, I guess if I'm in, you know, you have to figure out exactly how far to take it, exactly where to draw the turf lines, but let's, you know, do the very, very clear. If I turn off Rechov Meir Sharim into the alley, right, then I'm not going to sit down on the bench and have a schmooze with my sister, because that's Shinoi from the minhag of that courtyard, and you can imagine it might lead to machlokas. Even though, again, I don't think Alpidin anyone would say that it's usher to talk to your sister. Okay, yeah.
Even according to Rambam, what's the heter to open up a second shul or second basin to begin with?
Ah, that is a very, very, very good point. Okay, let's think about that in a second. Okay, we have... All right, let's just see if we can get through Rava. So first of all, we have a few things to discuss. First of all, this is something that I'm just mystified about. I just don't understand properly, which is, what's the logic of Abaye and what's the logic of Rava? What's the logic of Abaye? From perspective of Beis Toros, does it make sense that in one city you should all do the same, even if there's many Bezdins? Right? Yeah, makes sense. Right? Because there is chash of Beis Toros, right? Of course Abaye is right. Let's say you have two Bezdins, one town. It still looks like Beis Toros. Is there a chash machlokes if you have two Bezdins, one town? Right? Let's say you have one town. You have Haredi Bezdin and Tzioni Bezdin. So they each do things differently. Is there a chash machlokes? Right? So really, according to both sides of the Chakira, Abaye makes perfect sense. Right? Basically, forget about the Chakira. So many Achronim try to say, Abaye and Rav is an afkamina of the Chakira of Beis Toros and Machlokas. But it's very, very difficult because really Abaye seems to be right on both counts. Mitzad Shtei Toros is a worse Shtei Toros if each side has their own Bezdin. Isn't that like the worst Shtei Toros? It's modern Shtei Toros. It looks like if there's one Bezdin, half the guy's the one way, half the guy's the other way, it looks a little like Beis Toros. But if there's two Bezdins, each of which has their own Jewish community, then for sure it looks like Beis Toros. There's mamish, you know, two different sects of Judaism, right? And Misat Machlokes, if there's two different Bezdins, then people like have nothing to do with each other, and they just think, oh, we're the good guys and you're the bad guys, and then for sure there'll be Machlokes. So even though I admit right off, a lot of the Achronim try to say Rava makes more sense on one side of the Chakira, Rava makes more sense on the other side of the Chakira, I don't really understand at all. I don't understand Rava according to either side of the Chakira. Now, am I the first one who didn't understand the logic of Rava? Is it me only who's stupid and doesn't understand the logic of Rava? Or did someone else say that Misvara, Rava Svara, is so difficult?
Go back. Why is no chash of Beis Toros and Shtei the two cities? You still have the chash of
Hashem
looking down and saying, what are you doing?
You're right. That is a good point, and that is exactly what the Karen Ora said last time. But you could say it doesn't look like Beis Toros because people don't see them together. You know, you don't see them in the same time, in the same place, so therefore it's not noticeable. You could stretch it out, right? Could stretch it out. But for sure, that he asers in one city, for sure makes sense. Rav is a difficult svara. So some of the Achronim say that there's no chash machlokes if there's different bezdins. No chash machlokes. And therefore Rav hold like the machlokes side. If there's different bezdins, why would there be machlokes? I have a lot of trouble with that. What do you mean? My simcha yom is machlokes. Some Achronim try to say that there's no chash of beis toros if, the Ashram's a line. He says, oh, everyone knows Bezdin's argument. That doesn't look like beis toros. I have trouble understanding that also. Yeah. You go to any non-Talmud Chacham Jew now, they say everyone knows Bezdin's argues because they're beis toros. You go to any like non-Orthodox Jew, or even better, any uneducated Orthodox Jew who knows about Orthodox Judaism, right? They'll say, yeah, give me a break. You know, these kind of people say that, and these kind of people say that, and these kind of people say that. The answer is no one knows what they're doing. That's how people think, right? That's called a chash of Beis Toros. So what's really the svar of Rava? I don't know. Does Rava make sense to you according to either side of the Chakira? Please tell me that I'm wrong.
Well, If you understand what's the Indian of two Bezdins, we're not don't talk about two little groups of people. If you talk about two Bezdins that are important Bezdins, like Beishil and Beishamai, then everyone understands that everyone who understands Torah understands that this is the way it works. There are these two groups. They're very powerful. They're very educated. They're based on something. I understand why they're doing things differently. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't look like two Torahs?
I understand I understand the concept of Elul.
But doesn't that look like these Torahs?
When I understand Elul very nicely, so it doesn't bother me that it's Elul here and there.
So why does it bother me within one Bezdin if it's Elul?
In one Bezdin, how could you have inside a Bezdin, it's the same people, the same Mashkofa, they should have a...
So I think Aaron's taking a different approach. Aaron's taking a different approach here. I think what I need to say is I only have two other options to explain. I have two options that I like better to explain, Rafa. Even though I looked through everywhere I could look through, and I couldn't find anyone to, I even read through that book that I mentioned before, and I couldn't find anyone who really dealt with it in a way that satisfied me. But what can you do? One shot is maybe what Aaron's saying. That Rava's chashash is not machlokas in general or Beis Toros in general. Rav is not worried about machlokas in general. What do we not worry? Everyone agrees with Rabban Alishan and machlokas. Everyone agrees that machlokas is not a great thing. But Rav doesn't think losis godu means there should be no machlokas among Jews. And Rav doesn't think losis godu means Jews should never look like Beis Toros. What does losis godu mean? Losis godu means you should have a functioning religious leadership in your community that works, that doesn't have its own machlokas or Beis Toros. So he says, Rava says, it's not because of machlokas or Beis Toros in general, but it's an isser to undermine the religious leadership. For Rava, he has a third pshat in Moses Godu. It's not to avoid machlokas. That's too big. It's not to avoid the Nerek Beis Toros. That's too big. The purpose of Moses Godu, and maybe that's not such a big deal. Maybe Hashem doesn't mind. What do you mean Hashem doesn't mind machlokas? Hashem minds machlokas, but he trusts us that we won't make too big of a machlokas out of it. After all, people can politely disagree. So maybe the answer is Hashem trusts us to politely disagree. He's been proven wrong for so many generations. Okay, he was also proving and trusting us not to worship idols, etc. That's our fault, not his. So maybe Hashem wasn't worried about machlokas. He says, argue intellectually, but get along with each other. He's not worried about Beis Toros. Just explain, Elul ve'Elul won't be Beis Toros. So then what is Hashem worried about? Hashem's worried about you can't undermine the religious leadership of your community. A community needs a Bezdin. We need religious leadership. Right? We need a unified voice to lead the people. So if you want to make two cities, that's fine. Each city will have their chizuk. If you want to make two communities in one city, that's fine. Make two communities in one city. And obviously get along politely. That goes without saying. And if you don't get along politely, then you're making a mistake. Not the halacha. Not Rabbah. Right? Well, after all, there are towns, this usually out of town, where they can have two different bezins in one city with different hashkafas. They get along very nicely. Right? Generally, there are places with, 100 or fewer Orthodox families. But theoretically, we could do it anywhere. It's not rocket science. Just nowadays, it seems to be the challenge of the door. But I don't know, in some places, you go to South Africa, there are people more yeshivish, there are people more tzionish, this, that, and everyone gets along nicely. All right? So you can do it if you want. The answer Los is going to do is, don't undermine your religious leadership, because if you break up one Bezdin half and half, then you have no leadership in your community. You want to make two communities? Fine. Everyone should have diversity. But diversity means you can each have your community. Diversity doesn't mean have keres. What's the difference in diversity and have keres? Diversity means you have two people, each of which has their own religious system and has their own Bezdin, has their own chizuk, and has their own identity. That's fine. But if within one city, within one Bezdin, you break it up, then that's Efkeres, and what happens? Everyone becomes not from, because there's no functioning religious leadership, right? That is, maybe that's, right, everyone knows, if there are two children who have two different, different Ashkafos, again, nowadays some people fall into the trap of Machlokas, but, okay, everyone go to their shul,
But if within one shul you have two factions fighting with each other, that destroys the shul. Right? That destroys the whole shul. So maybe Rav has a new pshat. It's a pshat about destroying a bezdin. The isser is destroying a bezdin. The isser is not what everyone else thinks it is. Maybe that's pshat in Rav. The isser is destroying a bezdin. You could use the word machlokis. What it means, the isser is a machlokis in general. The isser is machlokis within a bezdin. Because if you have a machlokis within a bezdin, then you don't have a bezdin. And if you don't have a bezdin, then how are we supposed to have Judaism? No, how can you have Judaism without leadership? That's called Korach Judaism, as the Rav pointed out. That is one pshat that I have in Rava. I don't have any explicit marker for that. But Misvara, that makes sense in Rava. A second pshat I have in Rava, which is a little trickier, which is that really he agrees with Abaye. Really he agrees with Abaye. The problem is this. The problem is, Losis go to don't have divergent in Hagim. Rather do what? Right? I mean, it's not fair for Hashem to say, don't do this, right? Don't do this. He has to tell you what to do instead, right? Otherwise, right, Hashem says, you know, don't eat the vela. Okay, then what do we do? Oh, sheft it, right? He has to give you an option. Don't disagree. So, I mean, something can just tell you, don't eat ham. So what? So just don't eat ham. Exactly. Let's say he tells you, you know, don't disagree. So you say to him, but we do disagree. Like, what are we supposed to do about it? So what is his answer? Acharyam Lahatos says, look, don't do losis godu. I gave you Acharyam Lahatos. So what's Abaye says, look, if you're in two cities, you can't do Acharyam Lahatos. Right? You're not getting together and voting with each other. But in one city, what does Abaye says? If you have two bezdins in one city, what should they do? They should come together as one bezdin and take a vote. Maybe what Rav is saying is that losis godu only applies when you have a way of resolving your dispute. It's only usher to argue if Hashem gives you a way to resolve your dispute. Maybe what Rava thinks is that one bezdin never has to listen to another bezdin. If you have two bezdins in one town, then they don't, neither bezdin has to listen to the other bezdin. Why should I have to listen to your bezdin? And the truth is, it's going to be very difficult. If you have two bezdins in town, what are you going to say? Oh, just get together and vote. Think that's going to work? What's going to happen? We have two bezdins in town, get together and vote. So first question is, well, how big is each bezdin, right? So the answer is, well, here's the list of people on my bezdin. Everyone's going to inflate the list of people on their bezdin, right? Say, oh, that person's either qualified to be in a bezdin. Sure he is. Let's vote on that. You know, and I'm the Chadadei Tfei and you're not the Chadadei Tfei, right? Basically, it's going to be impossible to get two bezdins. He would like to, but it's impossible to get two bezdins to agree. If you have one bezdin, that means they're in a joint framework. In a joint framework, come together and vote and, you know what, be man enough to put your personal opinion aside and follow the Rav. But if you have two bezdins, they each have their own system, they each have their own hashkafa, they each have their own bylaws, you're not going to be able to get both of them together and vote. That's always the tricky part. You know, Rav, anyone ever seen these hashkafic debates? You know, we'll come back to this next time. Oh, well, obviously, you know, the Medina's this way, that way, whatever. It's the Rav, the opinion of Rav Poskim. It's very hard to figure out who the Rav Poskim are. You know, who are Rav Poskim in your Yerushalayim? Well, that depends who counts as a posek, right? So everyone's going to have their own rule about who counts as a posek, right? For me, you know, Rav Schoenbach and Rav Weiss counts as a posek, Rav Yashiv doesn't, because he's an apikoros, right? And for you, Rav Yashiv counts as a posek, you know, but obviously, you know, Rav Shapira in Americas doesn't count as a posek. For me, he counts as a posek, but it goes without saying that Rav Lau doesn't count. Rav Benny Lau doesn't count as a posek. And for you, Rav Benny Lau counts as a posek, Rav Sperber doesn't count as a posek, right? And for you, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? So what are you supposed to do? So maybe what Rav is saying that really I agree with Abaye. Really Abaye is right. Just he's unrealistic about what we're supposed to do about it. He really thinks that you can resolve a dispute between two bezdins in one city with Acharyam Lahatos? No, that's impossible. In the old days, the Rambam says, what would they do in the old days? Anyone remember the first Rambam Hilchos Mamre? Or maybe the second parak of Hilchos Mamre? In the old days, what did it say in the Chumash? They would go to the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, Lishis HaGazis, okay? But now, we don't have Bezdin HaGadol in Lishis HaGazis, but we're saying to a Rabbin, that's not ideal. But with Yevet, that we live in an age of Korban, and we don't have, not only don't we have Bezdin HaGadol in Lishis HaGazis, we don't have Bezdin HaGadol, and we don't even have Lishis HaGazis, but we're saying to a Rabbin. So now, what are we supposed to do, right? With all due respect, we don't have a Sanhedrin. So the answer is, really, he agreed. the Baye, but since you can't resolve a machlokes bein beis bate dinen bi'er achas, therefore it can't be usher mishom lo sisto to do. It's like the, like Yisol Beishamai, right? They tried to resolve it, and what happened? Yisol says, Akram La'atos, Beishamai says, Bechad Deitvei, according to Mandomer Asu, right? And the Bez that might not have helped, depending on, you know, Mandomer Asu, Bez, even the Baskel didn't help. What's the point? The point is, you can't resolve Machlokes Yisol Beishamai even in the same city. Yisol will say, we're the Rov, Beishamai will say, we're Bechad Deitvei, right? right? And Beishamai say, you know, okay, count your people who are as smart as us, and we'll see where the Rov. Right? Beisol says we have a Baskel. Beisol says they must be from the Baskel. So the answer is maybe Rav is just saying that it can't be that Hashem asserted something that he didn't give you any way to get out of. So obviously, Lo Sisto only means don't have machlokes when you have an option of resolving it. Don't have nirik beis toros when you have the option to be misached and be nirik tor achas. But it's obvious that Lo Sisto only applies where it's possible to resolve the dispute. If it's impossible to resolve the dispute, then it can't be Losis Go to do because Anakash broke about Matrunium for Yosef. He can't be an Isser of Losis Go to do without any way of without any way of solving the problem. So that's my two pshatim in Rava. That's my two pshatim in Rava. I'm not saying that my two pshatim are so sure with all the Rishonim Achronim just talk about Rava and just call Machlokes and Shtei Torahs, etc. I'm not taking on the Rishon Ben Achronim. I'm just saying, Kipshuta, all the Befarshim should bring the Machlokes and Shtei Torahs, and I don't really understand them. What they must mean is one of two things. Either we're not really worried about Machlokes, we're worried about Machlokes undermining the leadership of this community, or Beis Torahs undermining the leadership of this community, or really we are worried about Machlokes and Beis Torahs. It's just that there's nothing you can do in some cases. And when there's nothing you can do, then there's no Isser. There's only an Isser when you have another option. Those are my two Pshatim in Rava. Can I prove that which one of those or which one of these Pshatim is right? No. I'm just trying to logically figure out Pashav Shat in Rava. That's an interesting question. What about opening up another? What about a breakaway shul? Is a breakaway shul Lo Sisto do or a breakaway Bezdin? Is a breakaway shul or a breakaway Bezdin Lo Sisto do? That is a very, very interesting question. So according to Abaye, obviously that's a no-brainer, right? Even if it was there, Mikad must deny. The question is, according to Rava, whoever opened the breakaway in the first place, now sometimes there are breakaways and no one opened them in the first place. Sometimes you could have, Amsterdam, and then all of a sudden there's an Inquisition and all the Jews leave Spain and they arrive in Amsterdam en masse, so they already come with their own best. Let's say typical
cases. It's not a breakaway.
Yeah, let's say a real breakaway, right? Let's say a real breakaway. Okay. For anyone here from Bergen County? Yeah, okay. So I have to be a little careful how I talk about breakaways on the internet.
I don't
mind. What?
I don't mind.
Okay. What? Yeah, they're the...
Global Village.
Yes, okay. So I have no opinion about breakaways in Fairlawn, New Jersey. But speaking of Lundus, speaking of Lundus, what would Rava say, Lechora? So, it's an interesting question. I think what Rava would say, depending on which of my two pshatim is correct, according to the pshat I labeled number 3, if the breakaway is a good breakaway, then I think he would matter it. Meaning, if it was a strong breakaway, I think he would matter it. Because that might depend on what kind of breakaway. Sometimes, sometimes you can make a breakaway, you have a shul, and I'll make a breakaway minion in my basement. And I'll make a breakaway minion in my basement. So, I don't know, maybe that would be more of a problem. If my mamish got a whole rabbi bezin in my breakaway minion, maybe it wouldn't be a problem. According to I said in number 4, it could be that a breakaway minion would always be a problem. What do you mean? Right now we're united, right now we should deal with it ourselves.
It could be the proof is in the pudding. Now, there's many breakaways are the solution to machlokes. People literally can't be in the solution, it's never going to work. You just break away, you do, we have separate things, and so on.
Right, I hear that. Yeah, Lemaisa,
That's just strengthening the machlokas, though.
No. I have experience.
Sometimes it's better to have a little distance between the bali flikta. Right. So, Maisa, there is an RGJ article about the breakaway minyan, so we can look there and see what he quotes the Maimonides Poskim, but it's a very, very fascinating question. And again, I think, especially in light of the fact that the Bednarz family started the breakaway minyan, so I probably we probably have enough discussion of that for now. no one has my opinion. But it was a whole Maisa. Okay, and Aaron was right. Let's just take, I see it's already very late, and we have a lot, to do, but, okay, we'll have to stop now. We have to come back to Rava, Amir Tzashen next time. I think what we'll have to do is... we'll have to come back and finish up Rava on Monday, Mir Tzashem. I have a new Makoros sheet. It was really only like the first half of the new Makoros sheet, but maybe it'll even be enough for now. I'm a little behind, so please take on your way out. What I have left on this sheet to discuss, besides one or two little snippets of Gemara, is A, the issue of Psak. Everyone knows the Rambam passed like Abaye, and it's a big mystery. It's a big mystery why. And continuing the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara, a little. and what I want to come back to is the very, very fundamental question. That's about the next Makoros sheet of Acher Rav Lahatos, etc. Does everyone have to follow the Rove or not? Do you have to follow the Rove, and are you even allowed to follow the Rove if you think they're wrong? This is a very fundamental, almost philosophical question, although it's really a halachic question, meaning Beis Shammai Asu or Lo Asu, and under what circumstances, and for what reason were they Osa and Lo Osa, and what does Acher Rav Lahatos mean? Does that mean that the Miyot has to give in to the Rove? Or does that just mean that the Rove wins in Beis Din, but you never have to give in to someone who you disagree with? So I have a few more Makoros on that here, and that has to do with the continuation of the Gemara, and I've asked you on that Makoros sheet to go through the Gemara a little bikias. Maybe what we'll do is this sugya we'll finish up next week, the whole sugya of Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Then there's all kinds of interesting tidbits. There's all kinds of interesting tidbits between here and the end of the first perek, but definitely, start going through the Gemara bikias and looking at the Makoros on the sheet, and then we will... we won't be ma'ayin in every line of this Gemara because all tidbits and side points and basically every machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel or Edus of Chagai Hanavi brings up its own sugya, one or two of which points are very, very, very crucial and fundamental, but otherwise we'd go through all of Shas, and I do want to get the second parak. So let's start let's start with what's on the sheet.